515 rate rt.ie. Now, a lot of you saw the Boyzone documentary on over the weekend. It's on Sky or Now TV. It followed the story of the Irish boy band from when they got together in 1993, their breakup in 1999, and their comeback in 2007. It also covers the very sad time around the sudden death of the hugely talented Stephen Gately. He passed away of a congenital heart defect while on holidays in Mallorca. Stephen was only 33. Stephen's sister Michelle features in the documentary, where she speaks highly of her beloved brother, and she's come in today to talk to us about Stephen and the documentary and other things. Good afternoon, Michelle.
Hello, Ray. How are you?
Great to see you. Great to see you.
Good.
Well, we just hear a bit of Stephen before we
Indeed,
hear.
Yeah.
Is that a good way to start it? Yeah.
No matter what they tell us, no matter what they do, no matter what they teach us, what we believe is true.
There he is, the wonderful Stephen Gately. Do you know what it is, Michelle? Even after his death, he was the star for me of the documentary, wasn't
he?
His story is the one that shines through everything else.
Yeah, he was just, I mean, everybody just loved him. You know, he was just like, you know, so lovable and warm and, you know, funny and, you know, had, you know, great conversation where everybody was great with the chats and, you know.
So we'll talk about Stephen. What was he like as a boy?
Stephen was like my little shadow when we were kids growing up, because there was four boys and it was myself and just a couple of years between me and Stephen, you know, we'd go everywhere together. Like my mum would just pack us all out the door, you know, it's in the morning time, off he's go, out to play. And we'd always be like, my brothers and myself, you know, we'd just be around Sheriff Street, the area there. We'd, you know, we'd see each other all day, we'd be playing, we'd be skipping, the usual. We went to school together. We used to just walk from Sheriff Street just to, the school was just across the way, so my brothers, we'd all go to the same primary school, and it was a girls' school, and then the boys' school was right next door. I'd bring Stephen into his class, you know, and then I'd go off into mine, and I'd come out, and we'd always meet at the same tree outside the school. Stephen, you know, I'd be saying, "That's where you're to stay there now. That's where we're meeting," and we'd walk off home together again, like, you know.
So you're inseparable.
Yeah, well, I mean, even
in, you shared the same bed.
We did, yeah, we did, yeah. Even as kids, like, you know, where we were living, it was a very small flat in Sheriff Street, and there was two bedrooms, a sitting room and a kitchen and a bathroom. That was it. So I'd shared a room with four boys, and as you can imagine, someone had no bed, so me and Stephen had to share. Him down one end, me up the other. So...
And when did you realise that he was a bit of a performer?
From very young age, you know, I think, like, he won the All-Ireland dance competition 2 years in a row. Stephen used to just go off and he'd say, there's a competition on, I'm getting on the bus and I'm going off to enter the competition. And, you know, he'd come back with trophies and my mother would say, where'd you get that from now? You know, what did you do there? And he'd say, oh, yeah, I won a competition, or it was a singing competition. Different things he'd do, but he would do them off his own back.
And was there anybody else in the family that was showbiz-like?
No
connections?
Not really, no. There was always music played at home. Like, my mother would always have the radio on and, you know, the house would be, you know, filled with music and stuff. And, you know, Stephen grew up with my mother listening to all the oldies and, you know. No one else anyway, no one else.
No. So then there's a big article in the paper, Louis Walsh is putting together a boy band. And I suppose at the time, Take That were huge.
Yeah.
So people looked at them and I want a bit of that.
Yeah. Well, Stephen, he definitely was just like cut out to, he just wanted to be famous, you know, especially where.
Did he say that?
Yeah, many times he'd say, I will be famous one day, like, whatever.
Right.
He thought he might do. But I remember when he had a conversation with me saying there's a boy band, they're interviewing for a boy band. I'm really excited about it. Do you think I should go for it? And I said, yeah, you should definitely go for it. Now, he was very young at the time, and he went off. Now, he did know Ronan at the time, I think. He sort of knew him, but he didn't know the rest of the lads. And got in the queue with everybody else. I believe Colin Farrell was in the queue as well. Yeah, went in, did his audition, came back and chatting to me and my parents, and he said, oh, I've another audition, you know, and so on. And then he had another one, and he was, this is getting scary now. This is like, you know, this is...
What age was he?
Oh God, I think he was only 16.
Yeah, it was 94, was it?
Yeah.
16.
At the time, yeah. So,
and then that late show,
17.
That late show appearance.
Oh yeah, his favourite, his favourite piece, haunted him through his life. So it did.
And the rest of them.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, for sure. That was just funny because, I mean, they were all going on to do the programme, and Stephen was reefing clothes out of his wardrobe. What am I going to wear? Like, you know, we're going on the show tonight. We're live on the late, and I was, what are you doing? Are you singing? Are you dancing? And he was like, I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. None of them knew. So he said, I think we're going to be dancing, and he said, we've no songs or nothing prepared. So they were really just thrown in to it. And if I remember, sure, him and Ronan were outside swapping jewellery and jackets and bits of their clothes, what they're wearing on the way in, so it'd all look great.
I love that piece.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
There's this raw energy about the lads.
Well.
And it wouldn't happen anywhere else in the world.
Yeah.
They have prime time live television.
They had to learn to love it themselves, didn't they?
Yeah.
They did.
Yeah, we've shown so many times.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But they did a great job.
So that was the beginning. That was the beginning. Yeah. And then working my way back to you, and then Love Me For A Reason was the big breakthrough.
Yeah.
And what was Stephen saying to you through all of this?
Was
he saying we're going to be big, or?
Well, at the beginning, you know, all he wanted was just to get in the band. Like, you know, this was the main thing. And, you know, he could sing now. He was a very good singer, like, you know. And he was, like, thinking of all the dancing and stuff that he ended up, like, you know, he would be practicing.
Yeah.
He'd go into my mother's house and we'd be in the sitting room anyway, and he'd pull the table and chairs and push them out into a corner of the room, and he'd be dancing and singing and he'd be practicing there all day. So I don't know, he wanted to be famous, like, he, you know.
And Louis said that about them. He was ambitious for them, and they were ambitious themselves.
Yeah.
That gives you drive.
Yeah.
And I suppose they couldn't have imagined how big they were going to be.
Yeah. Well, I mean, watching the documentary, like, I was in shock, like, looking at it back, and you're looking at all the countries, you know.
Did you not know that was going on?
Well, I knew he was away all the time, and he'd be ringing me from, you know, from places, and, you know, he'd be saying, I'm in Japan, and, like, but when you're just watching the documentary and you're seeing all the concerts he was at, and, like, it's, like, bigger than, like, when you're watching it, it just becomes, like, it's real, like, and what he did was amazing, you know, so.
And, of course, with that came the attention of everybody, including the tabloids.
Yeah, yeah.
And they wanted a bit of Boyzone, and they wanted any story that was going.
Yeah. Yeah, indeed. Well, I mean, Stephen lived with myself and my husband for a short period of time. And like, the first thing Stephen would do when he'd come home, he'd walk into the sitting room, pull the blinds down, because there'd be a photographer in the garden. You know, we'd walk up to the shop, or we'd go up to get a DVD together to sit in and watch a film, and there'd be a photographer taking pictures of him. You know, and the headlines wouldn't be nice the next day, you know, when I'm just in a video store looking for a video, because we're just going to go home and have a nice chill night, relax, you know. And the next day the headlines is Stephen's, he's very depressed. All he does is sit and watch videos with his sister, you know, which was not true. We'd be sitting in having a great night, you know. So
yeah. You can't win.
Yeah. From very early on anyway. You know, the press was.
And did you worry for him then, as his big sister?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, of course I worried, because, you know, it was his career, like, you know, and he'd worry, like, you know, especially with Stephen coming out, like, you know, he didn't get to come out himself, like, being gay, you know, he was pressurized. It was the son that, like, outed him, and the lead up to that was just, that was horrendous because, you know, he sort of knew it was going to happen, it was coming out, and, you know, for him to have nothing, you know, he was so worried, he was terrified, and he, like, all that he was after doing in the band, like, he was worried about his bandmates, he was worried, is this going to affect them? He was worried because their parents, he hadn't come out to their parents, yeah, he only came out to me, so I was the only one in the family that knew Stephen was gay, and he'd, this fella from the sons, you know, we're going one way or another.
How, like, did that chat go?
With Stephen,
with you, when he came out to you?
Yeah, well, he just said, he was travelling a lot then, and when he'd come home, he'd stay with me, and he'd say, oh, before I go off, because he was going off to do a big tour, and he said, I just need to talk to you about something. And we met and we had a coffee, and he said, I'm gay, Michelle. And I said, I know, was how I answered him, which I did. And that was just it, like, you know, yeah. You know.
Yeah, but I felt very sorry for him because he was living a lie. And of course, the image that was portrayed of him was this young man who had all these adoring female fans.
Yeah, yeah.
And he had to go along with that.
Yeah, and he did. And, you know, he never told any lies. The one thing he said to me before, like, he said, I'll never say, like, he never mentioned, oh, I have a girlfriend, or it was always, he would say, you know, I hope to meet the love of my life one day. You know, he'd never, he never really told a lie, you know.
Isn't that brilliant? So even though he was keeping a secret, he was true to himself.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Because Louis Walsh says in the documentary that whenever there was an opportunity to put Stephen alongside, you know, a young, good-looking woman, he would do that, you know.
Louis would be gas. We'd be sitting in a dressing room. Like, I'd be in the dressing room, Louis would come in, and Stephen would be going on stage, and during the break, we'd have a chat, you know, and Louis would be sitting there, and he'd say, oh, Michelle, throw a pop star at me, a good looking pop star, and I'd say something like Emma Bunton. The next day, the headlines would be Stephen Staten, Emma Bunton, just out of nowhere.
Sorry, like, I shouldn't, you know, laugh. So, yeah, but that was Louis, wasn't it? Yeah.
But he was just doing his job, I suppose. Like, you know, Stephen hadn't come out then, and he had to, all the girls, like.
And did you have a bit of a laugh about the fact that he was being put beside all these female pop stars? No, or it was too serious, was it?
No, he was Stephen. Stephen was very funny, and, you know, he'd joke, like, sometimes we'd go off shopping and we'd go uptown, and, like, some of the girls used to think, like, I was Stephen's girlfriend, and they'd be pulling my hair, and, like, all sorts of, he'd have a trail of girls following him up the road, like, you know,
So it was a double-edged sword when he was outed by the Sun, because you want to have control over your own story. And yet he was living a lie, and he was in a relationship at the time with Eli.
Yeah.
And I suppose after they got over the shock of it, him being outed, was there any silver lining there, I'm wondering?
Well, of course, for Stephen and Eli, Eli being in a pop band, a boy band as well, like, everything got much easier for them. Like, can you imagine all that weight being lifted off Stephen's shoulders, really? How afraid he was and everything else. And there's a part in the documentary where, you know, they're on stage, and it's the first appearance Stephen makes.
Hyde Park.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. And it's the first appearance Stephen makes. And, I mean, I'd say he was terrified, like, because he didn't know, like, what was going to happen. He didn't know how the fans would react. He didn't know with the lads, like, how everything would be. And I think I remember he rang me after that, and he was, like, shocked. He was, like, so amazed with the support he got, and all the fans, how they had banners in the audience saying, we still love you. Like, you know, no matter what, we still love you. And he was amazed with all that. Like, you know, he couldn't believe it. Like, you know, so I think life got a bit easier for him when it did. When
and
he did.
I'm sure living his life as he did made the lives of other gay people a lot easier in this country. Because we have to remember that that was the 90s.
Yeah.
The Homosexual Act was only decriminalised in 1993 in this country.
Yeah. Well, it was very, very, very tough. Like, I remember after Stephen died, getting letters, like so many. So when he came out, I had so many letters of support. But I got a couple of letters after he died. And this was adult men sending me just, you know, saying, one chap anyway was only a young lad. And he said, I was actually suicidal. He said, I couldn't come out to my parents. I was terrified. I was afraid to say anything to my father. It was like massive for him. And he said, when your brother came out, or when he was made come out, he said, it changed my life. He said, now he's like, you know, this chap anyway ended up, he said, Stephen saved me. He said as well, what he felt like Stephen saved him because he was able to come out to his father. And I'm sure everything was okay after that, you know, but he did get in touch to say,
And I suppose Stephen spoke about the fact that all of those fears he had before he was outed, they didn't materialise. As in, you know, the fear that the fans would turn off and the fear that the band would fold as a result. None of that happened.
No.
But still, how he was treated by the press, it was horrible.
Yeah, it was like just terrible. And he was so sad. Like, I mean, he just, at that whole time, like that week when it was just going to happen, he just wasn't himself. He wasn't eating well. He wasn't looking after himself. He you know, of course, he was just so bad, like, you know.
Yeah. Eli speaks lovingly about Stephen in the documentary. Mm. That was true love by the looks of things. So back on stage or off stage, the lads broke up. Ronan went off solo career. Stephen had his own solo album. He did a bit of musical theatre. And then they got back together as a group in 2007. And that seemed like a very happy time for them all.
Yeah. Well, when they got back, he was just, I mean, you could see in the documentary, they were all so happy. You know, you just couldn't believe it. Like Stephen, you know, talked to himself and he was saying, you know, what you think, like the lads are, I'm going to meet them there. We're meeting in a hotel. We just need to have a chat and like we want to get back. It's on the table about getting back together. And he was delighted anyway, like, you know, so.
Yeah. He loved that support. It's an odd thing because one of the lads said, I think it was Ronan, that said that Stephen was the glue that held the band together. That they all liked him.
Yeah.
They might have had their individual differences, but everyone liked Stephen.
You couldn't help but love Stephen. Yeah. You just couldn't, like, you know, and it comes across like that in the documentary. Everybody, like,
What was it? And I know, like, he's an outgoing, lovely, funny guy. I wonder, he was vulnerable as well, was he?
I sort of said in the documentary as well, like, you just sort of felt like you had to mind him. You know what I mean? I don't know. And you feel sorry for him, I suppose, like, you know, but yeah, I think the lads as well, they felt that they needed to look after him and, you know, but he was just so lovely. I mean, he'd never say a bad word about anybody. Like everything would be, you know, would be
positive.
He'd say, positive and good and, you know, so I
and
think.
And in all the interviews in the intervening years, he always said that he was wide open to Boyzone getting back together. And they did. And then October 2009. He wasn't on holidays because he had a house over there, didn't he?
He had a house over there, so he had a house in London as well. It was his holiday home, so he'd fly over and stay there. At the time, now Stephen was writing a book, The Tree of Seasons, and he just needed like peace and quiet, and you know he was nearly finishing it. He was just at the end of the book. He was finishing it, and he went over. Just I'm going to have 2 weeks over here and I'm going to finish the book and then wherever move on to the next thing for him. So he never did finish the book. We had to get someone to finish it for him, but another thing he was very proud of.
Only 33.
Very, very young. You know, but what he achieved in those years, like,
you remained close.
We would always be on the phone every day.
Every day?
Nearly every day, yeah. Oh, there'd be more if he didn't ring me. You know, he'd say, before I went to bed, like I'd always get a phone call from him just to say good night or whatever. And the night he passed away, it was my birthday. Stephen died on the 10th, and it was just, you know, he rang me really late at night, and he was like, he was having a great time, and you know, he was like, I just want to make sure before we get to midnight that I say happy birthday to you and everything else. And then just the terrible news.
The next day,
yeah. Yeah.
And then again, the press didn't react well, did they? They went straight for a sort of a gory detail story, didn't they?
Yeah. Well, it was just, you know, seeing everywhere plastered all over the papers. Stephen, it must have been drugs. It must have been, you know, drugs and drink mixed together. And there was all sorts of stories of stuff he was doing that they, you know, lies. And I screaming inside because I not only lost my brother, but I'm seeing this on the news. I'm seeing it torn over on the TV, and it's just everywhere. And you can't walk into a shop or anything after, like, you know, and the newspapers are in front of you, and it's like Gately died of drugs, you know, and all this, and just shocking, like, you
horrible.
Know, it was so bad, yeah. When I knew, like, I said in the documentary, I said, it has to be something else. I knew in my heart, I said, there's no way. All I said was no. Like, you'd go out with Stephen for a few drinks, Stephen would be drinking water all night, like, he, you know. Or he'd come over, he'd say, you're having too much. Here's a glass of water for you. So,
minding you.
Yeah, minding me.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's why, you know, right from the start, I was absolutely not.
Yeah. And you were proved right, of course.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I was waiting. I said, I'm just waiting for the autopsy to come back because there's no way, like, you know. And then it did come back that Stephen had a heart condition, long QT, SADS. I also have the same heart condition that Stephen had, because it's hereditary. So
your dad had it.
My dad, we think, had it as well. My dad's father died very young as well.
How was it treated, Michelle?
Well, I'm just on medication for it. You know, like Stephen obviously didn't know he had it. It's a specific test you have to get done. And I only got it done, like, obviously after Stephen died, and they confirmed that I had it. But you don't just go and get this test, like, you know, so it won't be picked up, and his wasn't picked up.
But if you'd known that your dad had died from that, of you would have been tested because it is hereditary.
Yeah, we would have all been tested. So,
and Stephen would still be with us.
Yeah. Just one tablet a day is, you know, and that's it.
Like, do you think about him every day?
Oh, every day, yeah. Like, our home, even now, like, Stephen's 15 years gone, and like, there's still pictures of him everywhere. You know, we talk about him all the time. I've three children, they're always speaking about him, like, you know, his music's on. So for me, I mean, sometimes people say, do you not get upset? Like, do you not feel sad? Like, and I say no, because like, even in the documentary, they made him feel very much alive. Like, in it, you could hear his voice talking when you were watching it. You know, so.
And as I said, I'll say it again, he is the star of the three episodes, his story.
Yeah.
Oh, not all of it good because of the way he was treated.
Yeah.
But he comes out of it really, really well.
Yeah.
You must be happy with that, are you?
Yeah, well, I mean, when I was asked to do it, you know, I wanted somebody had to represent Stephen, you know, and I'm not, you know, I'm quite personal.
No, I know, because we sort of have met each other over the years.
Yeah, indeed.
I've asked you a couple of times to come in, and I respected the fact that you, and it's great now because you've done the documentary, so the story's out there.
Yeah. And I wanted to do it. I wanted to do it for him.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, because like Stephen's not here anymore. The four lads were obviously, I knew they're all going to be in this. You know what I mean? What are we going to do?
Yeah.
So when they asked me, of course, I have to get the courage to do this for him. You know, so, yeah.
What would he think of it?
he'd be very proud, like very proud of the lads. He'd be very proud that I could do it, you know what I mean? And just keeps his memory alive, I suppose, you know?
Very much so. Very much so. What was your favourite? We play out in your favourite Stephen vocal.
Every Day I Love You.
Ah, well, that's very fitting. Michelle, thanks so much for coming in.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.